has the power to transform the life sciences industry, driving change at every stage of the value chain, from early discovery through to the commercial phases. Now, it is projected that AI will find candidate drug molecules 1,000 times faster than existing models. This scale of gain is an unambiguous sign that your business must change the way it works or be at risk of being left behind. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Analytics Insight podcast, where we talk about the ever-evolving tech space, and I'm your host, Priya Dialani. Now, to ensure this level of change happens within sustainable business practices, businesses must consider their responsibilities when innovating with AI technologies. This means adhering to regulation throughout the life cycle and also accounting for wider ethical principles of harm minimization, safety, and equity. Now, life sciences is already a tightly regulated sector with high thresholds of compliance when it comes to upholding ethical research standard and patient safety. So how will or should regulators and the sector proceed to ensure that AI practices do not encroach on these protections? Let's welcome Udit Vaidyanathan, co-founder of Logicflow AI, to help us understand more about the entire scenario of regulation and compliance in the life sciences industry when comparing the traditional industry and how AI is changing the entire life cycle. Hi Udit, how are you doing?
Hi Priya, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for taking the time and very happy to be on the podcast.
Great. It's a pleasure to have you with us on a podcast today. And of course, like, you know, I mentioned that talking about life sciences, it's a highly regulated sector. And with the production of AI, I think there are a lot of changes happening in the industry. And of course, we are going to talk about it more. But, you know, let's start by telling our listeners more about Logicflow AI. So if you could help us understand about the company, its specialization, or any particular solution the company is offering, it would be great.
Awesome. Yeah, I was very happy that you started with AI accelerating drug discovery, but then talking about being compliant throughout the life cycle, right? And I think what is often ignored about, or at least under, I mean, people don't pay as much attention to in life sciences is after the drug development, the entire commercialization and, you know, scientific dissemination of the drug or the medical device safely into the hands of the general public and upskill doctors to make them understand, you know, what the new therapy is and so on. That is an entire engine by itself, right? And so for global life sciences companies, the spending on commercialization and post-commercial activities is much higher than the spending on R&D itself, right? That is something that I think is not something that people really are familiar with. So with that context, Priya, what we do is we work with specialized teams within a pharma or a life sciences company, and we help that entire commercialization and the life cycle that follows, all of the workflows in that space become that much more high quality, have higher compliance rates, and much faster. And so ultimately what our product is, it's a configurable AI agent team that knowledge work teams in life sciences can use to fast track their workflows.
Great. I mean, thank you for that insightful overview with it. And I mean, it's really inspiring to hear and understand how companies like Logicflow AI are not just following the trends by just following the hype of using AI, but actually shaping them. And the blend of, the domain expertise and applied AI that you bring to the table really sets the tone for today's conversation. Now, moving ahead, that you have led key strategy initiatives at Abbott and dropped out of Harvard Business School to build Logicflow. So I'm really interested to know about your journey till date, Udit. So, how has the journey been till date, and what triggered the birth of Logicflow AI, and what exactly is your role at the company? If you could share that with us.
Yeah, for sure. I graduated IIT Madras and I worked for a few years at BCG, where, I worked across multiple sectors, but had a lot of focus on pharma and medical devices and so on. And so as a natural extension of that, I joined the CEO's office at Abbott for emerging markets. This happened bang in the middle of COVID, right? And that was a very interesting time because pharma and life sciences as an industry had a insane amount of impact during this time, right? They had to innovate much faster while maintaining quality, and they had to, you know, get the vaccine out into the market really quickly. And so all of these workflows that I'm talking about were done in record time, right? And so I think what gave me the confidence was, hey, you know, this industry can move fast if they're given the right, you know, set of tools and right set of incentives, right? So that was the sort of seed of the confidence that led to the idea that became Magic Flow AI. Now, at the same time, I think what I saw there was, you know, there was a massive underutilization crisis, right? Let me explain what that means. In these teams in like a pharma company, so, you know, you have medical affairs teams, you have regulatory teams, you have, you know, pharmacovigilance and so on, right? Safety teams. The folks that are in these teams are usually, you know, terminal degree holders, so PhDs or MDs, right? And very highly educated people, highly paid for the work that they do. But then, you know, we don't follow it up by giving them the tools for their job. And so in order to, the amount of time they spend on, you know, work that makes their work happen, right? That was about 80% of their time. And that was when, you know, I reconnected with Arun, who's my co-founder. He used to be in this company called Intuitive Surgical. So he used to build high precision, low latency AI models and deploy them on surgical robots, right? And so, you know, he also used to spend, you know, at the time of regulatory filing, 80% of his time was just in documenting the work that he had done, right? And not actually building those ML models. And so, you know, Arun and I go way back, 24 years, we've known each other since second grade or so. And so we started talking about, you know, our shared passion for solving this problem. And so that's ultimately how, you know, Logic Flow was born, is that both of us had experienced this, him in Intuitive Surgical, and I had experience in Abbott. And, you know, we both had AI experience. And so we realized that, you know, now is the sort of inflection point where the tech is ready, where we can actually build solutions to solve this problem.
Great. What an inspiring journey, Udit. And of course, highlighting that two friends can definitely, you know, come up together and start an organization or a company addressing some real challenges that the pharma and the life sciences industry is facing. And I mean, it's always inspiring to hear, you know, how people like you, it's not just about strategy on paper, but also focusing on execution or cross-function collaboration and, you know, empowering and ensuring that you're actually addressing those real world challenges. So let's build onto that momentum when we're talking about artificial intelligence. It's everywhere and it's changing the world as we know it. Now, from chatbots to self-driving cars, AI is here to make our lives easier. And a lot of people say to take our jobs, right? But well, not exactly, because I think our jobs are safe for now. But like many other verticals, there is a great promise attached to AI for the pharma industry and reasonably a healthy dose of hesitation as well. Now, in the field of life sciences, there are several myths and misconceptions about AI that can impact how technologies are perceived and adopted. So what are certain, you know, biggest misconceptions that you have come across when it comes to the use of AI, you know, in life sciences and pharma?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question, because, you know, platforms like these help us sometimes, you know, demystify some of these misconceptions, right? So, yeah, let me get into it, right? I think the first thing that you mentioned is AI will take away our jobs. And that is something that, you know, that fear is being echoed everywhere. And so for our sector specifically, you know, the fear is that AI, just to rephrase, right? AI will replace experts, right? Now, the key thing here is that the reality is that pharma runs on trust, right? And not on guesses. And everything that happens is a deeply thought through scientific process, right? When you estimate whether a drug will actually work, there are so many factors that you need to take into account. There's so many SOPs in place. And the ultimate judgment needs to be made by a human, by an expert who understands the science and understands the field, right? And so replacing judgment is not the goal. Enabling it and reducing the amount of time spent on busy work to make your core work happen, that's the real value and function of AI, and that's what we are trying to build. So that's misconception one. Misconception two is that, you know, for vertical AI domain-specific solutions, that you just fine-tune a model and train it on the industry-specific data and just deploy. Okay, the reality is that, you know, these workflows that we're talking about, they're regulated, they're collaborative, and they're subjective, right? And so, you know, this collaboration across multiple teams to get to a single output. And so just fine-tuning a model doesn't cut it, right? What you need is you need to have domain understanding. You also need to have understanding at a company and a process within the company and SOP level. And you also need to have individual understanding of, hey, how does this person do work and how can we, you know, help make their work more effective, right? And so there's multiple levels of this, and the infrastructure to enable that is still being built out. And, you know, Logiflow AI is trying to play a key role there. Third misconception is that AI adoption is a technical decision. I think this is a simple one, right? I mean, ultimately, the tech is only so much, right? It's a trust and workflow decision. And that takes depth of understanding and depth of designing solutions, keeping the humans who are going to use it in mind, right? And so these three things I think are key to sort of build solutions that, you know, work well, not just in pharma, but in any regulated industry.
Great. I think that's such an important distinction, and I'm glad you called it out, Udit. I think it's really easy to fall into the trap of thinking that AI is a magic bullet that can instantly solve highly specialized challenges, especially in life sciences or pharma. And you have, I think, rightly pointed out that the reality is much more nuanced. I think the strength of AI lies in how it's trained, how it's contextualized, and how it is used to augment and rather, not override human expertise. So I think AI will, you pointed out right that pharma runs on trust, and trust is non-negotiable. So of course, with different workflows when it comes to whether it's drug discovery or clinical trials, I think we need a very strong collaboration between, humans and as well as the technology or the machines that we are talking about. Now, let's build on that thought a little further. I mean, artificial intelligent computer systems are used extensively in medical sciences. Now, common applications include, diagnosing patients or drug discovery and development or improved communication between a physician and a patient. And there's a lot more, including the remotely treating patients that has been on a hype after COVID. Now, while computer systems often execute tasks more efficiently than humans, I think the state-of-the-art computer algorithms have achieved accuracies which are at par with human experts in the field of medical sciences. Now, some speculate that it is only a matter of time before humans are completely replaced in certain roles within the medical sciences. So, I mean, how do you think, or in which way, AI is changing the landscape of medical science, and how should we separate the hype from reality? Like, why should the future of AI in life science and medicine be more human-centered rather than fully autonomous?
Yeah, no, another brilliant question, right? I think the most poignant quote I've heard about this thing is from Jensen, the founder of NVIDIA. He said somewhere that AI will not replace humans. Humans that use AI will replace other humans, right? Who don't? And so I think that's the key thing here is that, you know, in regulated sectors and in pharma and life sciences specifically, the stakes are too high. Right? I mean, automation without oversight, that's not speed, right? That's risk. And so ultimately, the human needs to take the call at the center. And, you know, what we're trying to do is augment them. I mean, a simple analogy for this is, you know, 100 years ago, you know, maybe 120 years ago, we would, for us to go from, you know, here to the US to do business, you would have to be on a ship for many days, right? Now, after the, you know, airplane came, it's not like we stopped using ships. Now today we have autonomous drones. That doesn't mean that we don't have pilots in our flights, right? Even if a lot of the, you know, the autopilot feature exists, ultimately, you know, for critical situations, you want the pilot to take control, right? So for a high-stakes situation like pharma and life sciences, where you're literally, you know, building breakthrough therapies and drugs that will, you know, cure patients, and, you know, something that goes slightly wrong, it's a question of patient lives. Why would you put even a highly capable, you know, autonomous system completely in charge, right? Ultimately, you know, all of this is in the service of, as humans, can we build, you know, either technology or solutions or medicines or therapies that, you know, enhance people, other humans' lives. And so ultimately, you know, all of this automation and AI agents, and it's in the service of enabling that. And so, you know, in order to make this happen, we have to have human in the driver's seat, really. And importantly, you know, while we can dream a future where, you know, things are completely different, First, to get to that point from here, it has to be a step-by-step process, right? And that's how I think the hype from reality separation comes in, right? Is that today we do things a certain way. The reality on the ground is, things are stuck together with duct tape. Ultimately, people in pharma, right, for their life-saving drugs and all of the regulatory compliance, they still use, Word and PowerPoint and, email. And so they don't have the right tools. And ultimately, the tools are for the humans to use to become a lot better. So, because of these reasons, for us in Logic Flow, there's no question that all of our design decisions are, squarely centered on, okay, the human is in control. How can we enable different portions to happen in higher quality, quicker, but ultimately, make it easier for them to make a decision and get to output, so that they can just supercharge how they work.
Definitely, Udit. And I think you've shared a very insightful perspective, and it hit homes how critical it is to keep the human element at the core of scientific and medical progress. Because when we talk about AI in these fields, we are not just talking about data points or predictive models. We are talking about people's lives, their health journeys, and sometimes even life or death decisions. And I think what you have pointed out is a powerful reminder that AI should serve as an enabler and not a replacement, especially in high-stakes environment like data, health and life science industry. So, of course, we have now, spoken about the importance of being a human-centered life science industry. But again, from a different perspective, I think one key risk for life sciences is bias in data sets when we are using AI here. Because if AI tools are trained on biased data, the outputs will magnify these biases. Now, historically, women and ethnic minorities have been excluded from clinical research, and this bias is transferred into the data sets used by AI tools. So if not properly handled, AI-enabled R&D based on such data sets risk outcomes that are unfit for these underrepresented demographics. And again, I think lawmakers and policymakers should understand that regulation needs to be established or probably strengthened to prevent and mitigate AI-enabled risk. And I think there are a lot of players already on the global regulatory pitch. We have the UK government, which has published a white paper detailing the intent to take a principle-based approach of AI regulation and indicating that life sciences will be regulated as its own domain by the existing regulatory bodies. So how do you think we can balance innovation with regulation, especially in a field where human lives are at stake?
Yeah, another great question. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the regulation point, right? At the core of it, in Logic Flow, we don't view regulation as a constraint, right? We view regulation as a design input, right? So that is very core, right? And so how do you balance innovation and regulation is that you design for compliance from day one, right? And not by pushing it off till later and retrofitting it, right? I mean, this is one space where the ethos of, oh, just move fast and break things, isn't always the best way, right? I mean, what we focus on at Logic Flow is move with precision and build trust, right? And I think that's the core point here. Now, just sticking with the flight analogy, right? Absolutely, resonate with issues like, hey, clinical trial populations have not been well represented, right? Whether it's the right ethnicities or gender representation, it's been a huge problem, right? It connects with the previous question also, this is kind of why you need humans ultimately taking decisions, because we do need to then troubleshoot and figure out how to get around some of these issues, right? I mean, today flights are the safest mode of transport, but in the beginning there were so many crashes and we had to trotroubleshoot and build and build systems to also understand why something crashed and then course correct, right? And so I will tie this in with one of the core things that are important in AI systems is explainability. Right? A high level of traceability and explainability in terms of, okay, why did the AI agent take the decision that it did? What were the inputs? What could have been its biases? Right? And there are tons of companies that are also building specific point solutions for each of these things, right? And the industry is at large is figuring out different pieces of this puzzle, right? And so for us at Logic Flow, we're focused on every output being reviewable, reference-backed, version control. And the decision lies with the human, And all of this design is from day one, right? And we use regulation as a design input. And that's how, you know, we balance innovation and regulation.
A really powerful perspective, Udit, and thank you for sharing that. And, you know, I very much liked your thought process of that. You really, when you're using AI, you need to move with precision and build trust, and rather focusing on, you know, speed or disruption or enabling a bold experimentation. And I think when done right, regulations, you know, doesn't have to be a roadblock to innovation. In fact, it can serve as a guardrails that can allow organizations to build responsibly and sustainability. And of course, I very much like your point of explainability, because I think that's where we are heading in terms of the future of AI, that we need human-centered explainable AI that can help you know, balance innovation and regulation. So that brings us to my last question, Udit, because, you know, as we are using AI to extract meaningful insights from data, prioritizing responsible AI is pretty essential to ensure that the technology is implemented and used effectively, ethically, and of course, in compliance with the evolving regulations. So what excites you the most about the next frontier of AI in medicine and science?
Ah, interesting. Oh, so many things that are exciting, right? You know, for me, at the core of it, right, this is across industries, but, you know, I'm seeing this a lot more in regulated industries and you know, in medicine and science, is that we're starting to move from point solutions to, you know, building out cognitive infrastructure, right? What that means for us at Logicflow is that we're moving from, you know, chatbots that answer some questions to teams of configurable digital AI agents, right? And so, you know, ultimately for the user, it's you're moving from individual tools to an AI native operating layer, right? Where fundamentally the way work gets done gets changed, and the level of, you know, cognitive output that you get just, you know, out of the box is incredible, right? And it's at a scale that we've never seen before. And so the dream for us really is that, you know, scientific work executed by agents, but supervised by experts, and that sort of interaction between AI agents and experts flowing seamlessly across, you know, departments and existing legacy systems and so on, right? And so, and you know, the most exciting part is that it's already happening, right? I mean, our customers, for example, are cutting document cycles that used to be 4 weeks, 6 weeks to, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and then they, you know, get in a room, review it, and they're done in a day or two, right? And that's incredible, you know, and to watch that happen while maintaining all of the compliance and you know, sticking to, you know, the highest sort of ethical and, you know, regulatory compliance, right? And I do want to say ethical, right? Because there are things that even the regulations have not yet figured out, but, you know, sticking to that ethics is also something that we prioritize. But within that boundary, getting to, you know, uncharted territory in terms of the speed and quality of output, it's already starting to happen. And, you know, at this rate, who knows, you know, how the world will look even a few years from now. And that's, you know, just being in, you know, at the helm of Logicflow and figuring this out for this industry is, you know, I'm just grateful for having front row seats to this innovation effectively.
Definitely glad to know. And I think what's exciting is that, you know, it's just the beginning, I feel. And as the boundaries between AI, biology, and, you know, big data continue to blur, I think the potential for a more scalable and precise healthcare solutions become, you know, truly transformative. And of course, having a responsible AI approach can help raise the bar for the industry and drive the adoption of ethics and risk management best practices. Well, thank you so much, Udit, for taking the time and effort to be on our podcast today and helping us understand that AI is changing how drugs are developed and deployed. It can also truly change how patients are diagnosed. And I think the power and potential of AI to impact human health is why it's important to implement AI ethically and responsibly. Thank you so much, Udit. It was lovely chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Priya, and really appreciated the nuance in your questioning. I think really brought out some of the elements that I'd love to communicate with, you know, the larger population. So amazing questions, and loved interacting with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Udit. So this is for our listeners. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to subscribe, share within your network, and let us know another episode that you would want to hear specific targeting a specific industry. You can view all our previous podcasts on Spotify and other leading platforms. Thank you so much.